Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, great faith is supposed to make a difference in our lives. A good difference. In fact, a big difference. A difference that shows by the way we live. And I can think of no better way of grasping how this great faith works than by looking at a real life display of it. And such a display we have in our text for this afternoon. It begins with a daughter severely tormented by a demon, and it ends with a daughter being made whole. And in between, we find great faith at work, bringing before us the difference desired. We can learn a lot about great faith from this story, so let's give it our undivided attention. And I suggest we approach it like this. We will look first at the challenge for great faith, then secondly, the exercise of great faith, and thirdly, the response to great faith. In Matthew 15, verse 22, we find a challenge that calls for great faith and for an unusual measure of faith. We learn of the challenge from the mother's cry, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Her daughter was evidently severely tormented by a devil. The devil, or demon, was bringing no end of grief into the daughter's life. It was a situation that cried out for deliverance, a situation calling for great faith. Demon possession, as it's made known to us in the Bible, was a sore trial. The demon or devil was a malignant spirit creature, evidently able to take control over its victim, an ordinary human being. And once in control, the demon would bring untold torment and misery into the victim's life. Demon possession, as we find it in the Bible, was an awful thing to happen to anybody. Demon possession was a very trying evil. Now, I'm grateful that in my experience, at least, I have never met up with anything that I would identify as demon possessions. I have heard stories given by missionary brethren who worked in primitive cultures, telling stories that sounded a lot like demon possession. But whether or not any of us have ever met up with such cases, it's certain that sooner or later we'll meet up with evil assaults of one kind or another in our own lives. They can come as serious temptations. They can come as all manner of difficulty. And when they come, they're going to challenge your faith. They will call for great faith if they're to be overcome. And there are all too many evils surrounding us in our world today. Evils that challenge our faith, not unlike the mother's faith was challenged in the story before us. And what do you do when you meet up with the evil challenges of this world? Well, there are many folks out there that don't respond very well. They say, "Look at all the evils in the world. How can you believe in a God that allows all such terrible things to happen? How can you believe that God is good and powerful when he allows so much evil to take place? And so they look at the evils in the world and they say, you can't believe in God, you can't believe that he's good and powerful, and they turn away from him. It's not a very good response, but it's a response a lot of people make. There is, however, a better response to make. You can respond with faith to the evil challenges that come your way. You can turn to God in faith and ask for strength and the ability to face these things and believe that he'll respond to you as you cry out to him. You can pray as we do when we use the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from the evil one. And that, you see, is precisely what this Canaanite woman is doing in the story before us. She sought out Jesus and asked him to deliver her daughter from the evil one. We do well to learn to respond to the evils we see in like fashion. We should cry out with equal fervency, deliver us from the evil one. Now, I don't know what particular evils you might be faced with. I don't know the challenge that's going to come your way, or perhaps has already come. Maybe it's a physical problem, sickness or disease. Maybe it's a spiritual problem and you find yourself burdened and the burden is too heavy to carry. You're depressed and it takes the joy out of your life. Maybe it's a simple case of waking up and finding yourself guilty of sin. I don't know what it's going to be. But I do know that the right kind of faith can make a difference when you meet up with the evils of this world. Great faith can make a difference, a big difference, a good difference. So let's take a look and see at how this mother exercised her faith. In the exercise of her faith, there are at least five characteristics that we can identify, and they're all worth noting on our part. First characteristic of mother's faith I want to point out is its focus. This woman kept her faith focused on the person of Jesus Christ. When the report was circulated that Jesus had left the region of Galilee and he was now in Gentile territory where this woman lived, somewhere around the cities of Tyre and Sidon, this woman said to herself, I'm going to him. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to take my daughter's troubles to him. And she went. She went out and found the place where Jesus was, and she approached him. And in the course of her encounter with Jesus, we find her crying out, worshiping him and reasoning with him. And all the while, her attention is directed totally to Jesus. She did not turn aside to lesser things. She did not turn to the disciples. She kept her attention fixed on Jesus. Her daughter's problem, serious as it was, wasn't out front. She kept it sort of in the background. She left her daughter at home. Mother didn't want the daughter distracting her and creating difficulties. She wanted to see Jesus. And she wanted to see Jesus only. So she fixed her attention on him and kept it fixed on Jesus. Jesus was the sole object of her faith and attention. Faith that makes a difference. Great faith is faith that focuses on Jesus. I submit to you that that's important. All too often, I believe, people go wrong at this very point. We let Jesus Christ get out of focus. We wander off to some ill-defined view of God, perhaps. We wander off and fix our attention maybe on the church or on some doctrine or what have you. But none of these things can really meet our need. Only Jesus can deliver us from evil. Only him. Or worse yet, we concentrate all our attention on our problems and never think about the one waiting to help us, waiting for us to come to him. So we have to learn to fix our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want things to change, he is the one who can change them. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, if we're going to get answers to our prayers, let's do what the mother in this story did. Go to Jesus. Fix our faith in him. Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts, thou fount of life, thou light of men, from the best bliss that earth imparts, we turn unfilled to thee again. Point one, put it down. Great faith focuses on Jesus. Secondly, this mother's faith was characterized by reverence. When she approached him, she addressed him as Lord, Son of David. She was approaching someone she conceived to have authority and power. It looks like she just may have recognized him as the Messiah of Israel. At any rate, she saw him as a most exalted person. And to approach him, she must come with respect, with veneration, with reverence. Then as she found herself immediately before him, she fell on her face and worshipped him. She was filled with a sense of awe and wonder in his presence. And if she is to address him, she will do so reverently. And I submit that's the approach of great faith. It's the approach to Jesus we must take if we would exercise great faith in him. We must come to Jesus with reverence. Quality that all too frequently is lacking at times among us. I have visited various congregations over the year, and when it's time to pray, there's a sudden rattling of paper that you hear. You hear voices talking. And these people are supposed to be praying. How can they be reverent in doing all these other things? When we're approaching the Lord Jesus Christ, we must come reverently with awe and wonder. Little faith shows no reverence and makes little difference in the face of evil. Great faith is faith that reverences the Lord and comes to him accordingly. Then, closely related to the idea of reverence is the idea of humility. Reverence, you see, is mindful of the greatness of Christ, and humility is mindful of our own smallness. They are sort of the opposite ends of the same street. And I submit that humility is the third characteristic of great faith in the story before us. When she fell on her face and worshiped, she lowered herself into the dust. When she cried out for help, she was acknowledging that she was too small to cope with her problem. When she reasoned with Jesus about the crumbs that fell from the master's table, she was identifying herself with one of the little dogs around the master's table. And I submit to you that that's humility. Before the Lord Jesus Christ, she was willing to acknowledge that she was the least of all people, utterly unworthy of his attention. And that's a rather important characteristic, I think, of great faith. It humbles the believer. It helps us to see what we look like in the sight of the infinite, eternal, and unchanging God. It humbles us. When we come to Jesus, there's no room for pride, no room for boasting, no room for our own self-importance. We're but the dust of the ground before him. That's a good fact to keep in mind if we want to have great faith. We're the least of people before him. Then, fourthly, and one of the more notable characteristics of the faith portrayed in this story is the characteristic of persistence. Did you notice how Jesus responded to the first cry of this mother? Verse 23, he answered her not a word. Her first cry was met with silence. Now, it seems to me there's few things more discouraging to faith than silence. We come with our anxiety to Jesus, and he says absolutely nothing. You're met by silence. How do you react? Well, a lot of people will say, this is useless. Little faith, you see, will turn away at the least discouragement. And silence, no answer, is certainly discouraging. If at first you don't succeed, quit is the approach that many would take. Many of us are like that, but not this mother. She didn't believe that silence meant refusal, so she kept right on asking. Her faith persisted through the silence. We, it seems, are so impatient, we're ready to give up and quit if our prayer is not answered with same-day service. And the silence of Jesus can sometimes last for quite a while, perhaps days, perhaps months. If it pleases the Lord Jesus, it could last longer. But the silence does not necessarily mean refusal. Persist in your faith until an answer is given. Don't give up. But then it seems the mother of our story faced an even greater discouragement. When she pleaded with Jesus a second time, Jesus replied, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And it was as if Jesus was saying, the blessing you seek is not for you. In other words, the answer is no. And I submit that's worse than silence. And the reason for the refusal is also given. It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And Jesus says, "I came to the people of Israel. You're a Gentile. You're outside the reach of my mission. I can't give you the children's bread." But this mother wasn't about to take no for an answer. She came right back with another approach. We'll look at it in a moment. She kept right on seeking mercy and grace from the Lord Jesus. Silence didn't stop her. No didn't stop her. She had a need to be met, and Jesus alone could meet it. She'd keep on seeking him for what she needed so greatly. That's great faith. That's the kind of faith that makes a difference. That's the kind of faith we need to see more of today. Persistent faith that keeps on asking through the silence, through even denial. Great faith does not quit. Keeps on appealing in spite of discouragement. Then the last characteristic of this woman's faith I want to point out is its intelligence, its reasoning ability. When Jesus said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs," the mother reasoned with him. She met his response with intelligence, with reason. She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." "What you said is true, but you could have said more. You could have said, crumbs fall from the master's table. They've fallen before." She would have a crumb. For her, that'd be enough. She backed up her faith, you see, with reasons. And she didn't hesitate to make them known when she was challenged. Her faith, you see, was intelligent. She worked things out. And we should work out our faith in like manner. When the Lord answers with silence, when he seems to say no, gather your reasons and bring them before him. I remember years ago, I came across a little pamphlet. It was a sermon, I believe, that was preached by C.S. Spurgeon called Effective Prayer. And he used a text from the book of Job where Job says, "I'll fill my mouth with arguments." That was in the context of his coming before the Lord. He was going to bring his arguments to the Lord. And Spurgeon in this little book says, well, there you go. Bring your arguments to the Lord. That's what this woman is doing. She She came with her reasons, and we should do the same. We can remind him of the cross. He died to save us from all evil. We can remind him of his resurrection. He rose again in triumph over all the powers of evil. We can remind him that his power was freely offered to his people. We can tell him that we believe his word and we're claiming what he has promised. And you know what? You don't have to ask for a crumb. You can ask for the whole loaf, because the bread of life was broken for you. Bring your reasons to the Lord. Why he should answer you. And he won't turn you away. And I read this story and I say, what remarkable faith this woman brought with her. Jesus called it great faith, and he certainly was right. It was a faith focused on the person of Jesus. It was very reverent and respectful of him. It was very humble and knowledgeable about her smallness. It was persistent, all right. And it was argued intelligently. And Jesus said to her, "Oh, woman, great is your faith." And may God grant each and every one of us a faith like this. Now look at the response that she receives for this kind of faith. And it's all in verse 28. "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus praises faith like this. "Oh, woman, great is your faith." Would Jesus say that of your faith? Ask him for a faith like this and then exercise it in the way this woman did. And then Jesus answered, "Let it be as you desire." When you have faith like this, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. Seems to me that's the only kind of faith to have. And don't miss the crowning achievement of it all. Her daughter was healed from that very hour. The need of her daughter was met. She was delivered. The cry of the woman's heart was answered. And Jesus wants to meet your needs too. He may not do exactly what you expect. Indeed, very often his answers are rather unexpected. But they'll come in response to great faith. So I ask you, have you great faith like this? Faith that makes a difference in your life? You got that? Praise the Lord. But whatever faith you have, don't throw it away. Focus it on Jesus. Fill it with reverence. Fill it with humility. Fill it with persistence. Give it all the intelligence and reasons you can. And then you, too, will be able to hear him say, "Let it be to you as you desire. Amen. We were